If you haven't noticed, I'm on the fifth year, you get a new microphone. So I gotta bust out in a dance and a song here with this new mic. The passage for this morning, it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15, yeah. I'm a Bible preacher, right? Colossians has what, four chapters? And I'm saying chapter 15? Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, this morning's passage. Why don't we stand together for the reading of God's Word? I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything else began, and he holds all creation together. Amen. That's the word of God. Thanks be to God. For many of us, the big picture is very, very important. We don't want all the details. We want to know the end result. We want to know where we are going. For others, details are very important. The who, what, where, when, how many times, what color. You have to know all of that stuff. It's very important to you. Those are the two extremes, I guess, with a wide spectrum in between. And we all fit in somewhere because we are created in the image of God, and God is both extremes, the big picture and the details, and everything in between. We saw last week how he has this huge creation in space, these great distances, incredible energy and brightness and weight. He is the big picture Lord. And today we are going to look at the other end of the spectrum and see that he is the Lord of all the tiny, tiny matter which everything is made of. And the reason we are looking at God's creation is because meditating on God through Scripture with creation increases our understanding of the Lord and our faith and trust and love and amazement and worship. It is all affected once we are meditating on who God is as he has revealed himself. He has invited us to come and know him by displaying pieces of his glory in creation. And by looking more closely at creation by the power of the Holy Spirit through Scripture, we can better know the Lord and have an increased desire of worshiping him and trusting him. J.I. Packer wrote a book in 1973 called Knowing God, and this is what he says. What makes life worthwhile is having a big enough objective, something which catches our imagination and lays hold of our allegiance. And this the Christian has, in a way that no other man has. For what higher, more exalted, and more compelling goal can there be than to know God? So we are going to meditate on God through Scripture with creation to better know the sovereign God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16 reveals some clear things about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was and is before creation. This means he is eternal. Jesus wasn't created, but has always been, because Jesus is God, God the Son. And Jesus is the one who created everything. All the galaxies, the universe, planets, stars, all of creation came into being by his creative power and word. He is the agent of creation. This is confirmed in John chapter 1, verse 3, where it clearly says of Jesus that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 says the same thing. Through whom are all things and through whom we exist. The act of creation was completely dependent on Jesus Christ. No exceptions. And this includes what is seen, the visible stuff, all the beauty around us, but also all the unseen things, the invisible. Invisible in the sense that we can only see them under a microscope, or we can't touch it but know it's there, like gravity or a sun ray or a rainbow. Everything, the visible and invisible, were created by Christ. And the reason, the aim, the point, the purpose, the goal of everything, Scripture tells us, is to glorify Christ, reveal something about His greatness, for it to point to Him. And it always does in some way. If we think of people, they can be the recipients of the grace and mercy of Jesus, receiving salvation, which glorifies Him, or they can be the recipient of His judgment and wrath upon their death, or Christ's second coming, which too glorifies Him. So throughout life, with everything, everything is created in Him, through Him, and for Him. Everything finds their purpose in Him. Now let's briefly look at some of what Jesus has created for His glory. So last Sunday we looked at the bigness of God's creation space, and it's just absolutely mind-blowing. Just the sliver of stuff that we looked at last week. And this morning we're going to look again at the bigness of God's creation, but in the subatomic world, the tiny, tininess of His creation, the molecular level. And you need to know that talking about this stuff makes me laugh, because I can sound like I know what I'm talking about on this subject, but I don't. I don't. Again, I'm indebted to the book that Sam Storms wrote, One Thing, it's called, and to the endless number of websites that are out there helping me understand this stuff. So, but regardless, listen to these numbers that reflect God's creative power. The atom. Remember back in science class. Remember science class. Here we go. If you line up atoms side by side in a line, you know how many there would be in one inch line? 100 million. 100 million make up one line, a one inch line. Can you imagine how many atoms there are in your finger alone? The nucleus. An atom is mostly empty space. I didn't know that. Mostly empty space, except for the nucleus, which is inside the atom. And if we were to compare the size of the nucleus to the atom, it would be like this. Okay, so we're going to compare the nucleus to the atom. Nucleus is inside the atom. If BC Place, the stadium where the BC Lions play, if BC Place represented the size of an atom, the nucleus would be the size of a grain of sand on the 50-yard line. The atom is basically empty space except for that tiny nucleus. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So in a one-inch line where 100 million atoms fit side by side, 10 sextillion nuclei fit side by side. That's the number 10 with 21 zeros. God's creation is so massive and complex that for just one inch straight line requires 10 sextillion nuclei. I like saying the number because it has the word sex in it, probably. And it doesn't mean what we think it means. But then there's protons and neutrons. Protons and neutrons. In the atom is the nucleus. In the nucleus are protons and neutrons. Okay, just bear with me. This stuff is fascinating, even though we're not into science maybe, but just listen. So the nucleus, inside the nucleus are protons and neutrons. And each nucleus has around 200 protons and neutrons with electrons swirling around in them. But the electrons are even tinier. Protons and neutrons are 2,000 times heavier than electrons. It's like, what? that's what it is. Then there are quarks. These are inside the protons and the neutrons. Protons and neutrons are 1,000 times bigger than quarks. And there might be around 1,000 quarks combined in the proton and neutron in a nucleus. Line up quarks side by side, and in 1 inch you have 10 septillion. The number 10 with 24 zeros. And physicists, they believe that everything is made up of atoms, with the nuclei and protons and neutrons and quarks. Those are the building blocks to everything. Everything consists of them. All this basically invisible, tiny, tiny stuff together forms everything. Everything in God's creation. And all of them work together to make the power, the energy needed for existence. And it's incredible the amount of energy all this little stuff has. You know, here's the first law of thermodynamics says that energy cannot be created or destroyed, but transferred. Okay, so energy can't be made, you can't destroy it, it's just transferable. So this morning, most of us ate breakfast. We had all this food that had a lot of energy in it. And that energy transferred from the food into our bodies. And it's just a huge amount of energy. Physicists say that we have enough energy in our bodies to easily blow up this building. Easily. And there is way more. There is way more going on in my hand than I could ever, ever comprehend. And all of creation is made up of all these atoms holding all this energy. The details, this is inconceivable how big this is, how complex this is, how tiny and detailed all this is. And Colossians 1 verse 17 tells us that in Jesus, all things hold together. That's what Hebrews 1 verse 3 also says. Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus is the preserver of all creation. He alone holds all those atoms and quarks together, making them work as they should. One commentary says, Jesus is the sustainer of the universe and the unifying principle of its life. Apart from his continuous sustaining activity, all would disintegrate. So if Jesus wasn't holding and keeping all these atoms working as they should, everything would disintegrate, fall apart, and decay. Your chair, your body, this building, all would be nothing. Nothing. But he keeps everything going because he is the purpose of all of it. It's to glorify him, so he keeps everything going. So now here, Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Now hear this verse. In him we live and move and have our being. Yeah, no kidding, hey? No kidding. It's not this fairy tale stuff of, he's my glue. He inspires me. No! He literally keeps us together, keeps us going. Every heartbeat, every impulse, every brainwave, every atom and groupings of septillions and septillions of atoms, he keeps them going. Think of anything that you do or have. Making food. Jesus keeps molecules and food substances together and in its relationship. If he was removed, it would be nothing. He is highly, highly involved down to the quarks level of life. I was working on this sermon in a coffee shop, and I was thinking about the people around me, you know, beautiful, valuable people going about their life, and probably most of them are oblivious to this truth. Things are not just moving along in and of themselves. Just like the planets and galaxies can't stay intact on their own, neither can atoms. Jesus Christ is holding them together language, bodies, chairs, coffee, every single thing. So glorious and great a king is Jesus Christ. Now think about this. God created everything exactly the way he wanted to, exactly how he wanted to. And he had endless options of how to create everything. His endless options. Why did he choose this way of having everything made up of these tiny, tiny, unnoticeable atoms and quarks? Why do it that way? Now, you might have some of your own thoughts. Here are just two of my thoughts, two thoughts. I think God made everything out of these tiny, tiny atoms to display how God is the only one who stands on his own. Everything else is intertwined and related and dependent on something else. Everything is made up of countless atoms. Together, atoms make everything. Whatever thing exists because of something else, not solely because of itself. You know, a fingernail, billions of atoms. This is reflected in relational ways with people. No one stands on their own. No person became a super talent on their own. Like we hear the media in interviews always tell us. It was just my hard work, natural talent, and determination that got me to where I am today. That's not true. People invested in helping develop that ability. People were involved in building all the buildings where that person trained. People were involved in transporting that person so they could be trained. God made that community that they're in, Christian or not. He gave them that community, and the individual was given willpower by God to work at the ability and given the gift of that ability and the protection from injury and wonderful people around them. Nothing is in a vacuum and stands on its own. There are atom-like building blocks to everything. Everything. The church is made up of people. Lots of us. You by yourself are not the church. And in so many ways, our growth is dependent on each other. The Holy Spirit makes us more Christ-like in our relationships with each other. We can't stand on our own. There is no Christianity without the church. We hurt ourselves when we stay away from the church. We need the church. So all these ridiculous amounts of atoms show that nothing stands by itself. Everything is dependent on other things, building blocks, except for God. Only God is self-sufficient and self-existent. Only God is God. And that's what the tininess of the quarks displays about God's glory. The second reason why I'm guessing God made all of creation out of this small, unnoticeable building blocks is because it reflects God's attention to the small, unnoticed stuff. We might think that God is just into the big stuff. Big stuff is the important stuff and has his attention. You hear people say that with all the big stuff going on in the world, God doesn't have time to waste on me with my little life. And in our culture, all the big things get our attention. The loudest, most popular person, the biggest news item, the biggest event. And we are heavily influenced by our culture, so we too love big stuff. Big stuff is important to us, and perhaps we strive to get the big house, the big Facebook life, so we feel better or fulfilled. Maybe we feel down and poorly about ourselves and our lives because we don't experience anything big and we don't have anything big in our life. We love big. Big movies, budgets, meal portions, paychecks, experiences, houses, encounters, personalities, reputations, causes. big churches with big programs and a big amount of people making a big impact on people. We want big marriages, superstar families. We want to impact the world. Here we go. Big, 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 not the small stuff. That's not interesting. Think big or go home. But God has made everything out of tiny, tiny atoms. And he loves his creation and thinks it's good. He loves the unnoticed stuff, the ordinary, overlooked stuff like atoms. He displays his glory with it and sustains all that tiny, tiny stuff. This is reflected also in our relationship with God. Your small conversations with him that no one knows about. Your small serving you do for your family, your neighborhood, your boss, or the church that no one notices. Your small worship, your small hurts, your small life that is overlooked and no one will ever write a book about or make a movie about. Listen, God notices all the small stuff, small lives. What is unnoticed by the majority of the world is never, ever missed by the Lord. Not now while we are on earth, nor for eternity. Stop striving to be someone according to the world's methods and standards. God notices and gives his care to all his atoms out there. How much more his children whom Jesus Christ died for. The smallness of God's creation tells us that only God exists on his own. He is not dependent on anything. Let me say this again. The smallness of God's creation tells us that only God exists on his own. He is not dependent on anything, but everything is dependent on something else and ultimately on him. And no small thing is unnoticed by him. No small thing is invaluable to him. I still have trouble with trusting our great and awesome God. When something goes on that's hidden from the cameras and the internet feed, something goes on that's unnoticed and requires so many details to fall into place for something good to come about, I just get hopeless and turn away and ignore it. That's what happened this week. I get daily prayer requests from missionary organizations, and this one called the Barnabas Fund asked for prayer for 250 Syrian Christians who were kidnapped from their village on February 23rd. If they tried to escape, they were killed. If they converted to Islam, they would be released. And the men and the boys were held separately from the women and the young children. And when 23 of them were released, they spoke about the conditions that they were in. And they were saying that so many of them were crammed into these small rooms so tight that they took turns lying down on the floor to sleep. And they took turns standing by the window for fresh air. And you know what they did to help them survive? They prayed together 6 times a day. That gave them hope in the Lord that they would make it. So Scripture describes God as the creator of everything, seen and unseen. He's all about the smallest details. So he knows exactly where these brothers and sisters are. Everything is completely known by him. All the details to their daily survival are known by God. All the details to make their release happen are known by God. So Edgar, pray and write your letters. Not praying is saying to God, you're weak and can't do anything. But God is over all the details of his creation. And boy, there are a lot of details. And he can do as he pleases with all of it. All of it. So with this meditation on God, through Scripture, with creation, knowing he loves and pays attention to the tiniest of details, now listen to how good of an invitation he gives to us. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on him because he loves you. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So who are we praying to? Who is settling our hearts so that we don't get anxious about everything? The one God who stands on his own and is not dependent on anything. The one and only God who knows the tiniest of details of keeping everything functioning, sustaining the universe. He is the one that we pray to. He is the one sitting on the throne. He is the one who has saved us. He's the one that we belong to. He's the one that we go to. Church, that's the Lord. That's who we are worshiping. May that penetrate our hearts and our minds, bring us to our knees quickly, and fill our hearts with joy that we have such an amazing Lord and that we are known by him and he invites us to know him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, this is such good news. It's amazing who you are. Combine last week with this week, and it's just still scratching the surface of who you are and how awesome you are. Lord, may we be captivated by you. May we not be captivated by sin, by things that are trying to duplicate your greatness. Help us to be captivated by you. Lord, we need your help. We cannot do this on our own. We might know stuff about you, but we don't want to just know stuff about you. We want to know you and to experience and depend on you in real living by really seeing this truth coming into our lives, changing how we think, changing how we depend on you and not ourselves and not on the world around us. Lord, change us. Change us for your glory. Thank you that you have promised to do that and you will complete the good work that you've started in us. That is your promise. Thank you for that, Lord. So we come to you with gratitude and this petition in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.